Turn with me this evening for our scripture reading to the book of James and the chapter number 1. Book of James and the chapter number 1. James chapter 1, and we want to begin our reading this evening at the opening verse, and we'll read right down to verse number 12. There we read in God's word, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just bow briefly in prayer again, and we'll ask the Lord specifically now to bless the preaching of his word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do rejoice in thy mercy and in thy grace toward us, and that while we have already been enabled to sing thy praise and to uplift thee in all of thy ways, we do thank thee, O God, now that we come again to thy word. I pray, O Father, that the Spirit of God would bring it powerfully to our hearts, that it would be a great blessing to us. And, O God, that thou would give liberty to the preacher, not for his own glory, but for the exaltation of thy name and for the praise of thy Son, Jesus Christ. So bless us now, undertake for us, and draw near. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Andrew Murray was a South African writer, teacher, and Christian pastor. One morning he received a call that there was a woman downstairs who was looking for advice with regard to a trial that she was going through at that time in her life. As he thought about how he was going to advise her, he thought about the fact that at that time in his life, he was also going through a trial. And so simply he got the woman to read the things that he had written down in advice to himself. Some of the things he said to her was, that when it comes to trials, that God had brought her there, and by his will, he would make it a straight place, and that person would find rest. He said that the Lord would keep that woman in his love, he would give grace in the trial, and he would enable her to behave as his child. He says that God would even make this trial a great blessing, teaching her lessons that he wanted her to learn and to show her the grace that he can give and the means that he can bestow. Simply, as we sum it all up, Mary was saying to this woman that she was in a time of trial by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. You see, he is showing great maturity when it comes to trials, when it comes to testings in the Christian life. He knew that God had appointed it, and even more than that, he knew that God had appointed it for his good and for the good of that woman. We could even go as far as to say that God was using the trials and the tests in his life at that time in order that he would grow and in order that he would progress as he sought to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we think of growth in the Christian life, we think of the obvious things, don't we? We think of Bible reading. We think of the means of grace. We think of prayer. We think of all of these things, and these things are wonderful, and they are means whereby we grow. But I wonder, do we think of the fact that God uses trials and tests in order that we would grow as well? In order that we would progress with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be that holy people that he has saved us to be. And sometimes that can be very difficult. We look at those times where we are in the midst of trial and temptation and testing, and it is sore on us, and we say, how could any good come out of that? How can the Lord work in my life through these circumstances to make me more like the Lord Jesus Christ? And no doubt in these times, the devil and his evil forces, they come and they will torture the people of God in their mind. And they will come and they will make us ask questions. And they will come and they will make us doubt and they'll make us fear. And there are all of these things in the midst of it all. And yet God says that even in these times of testings, he will use it for our good and for our growth and for the good of his church. And so when we look at our life, our own lives, when we think of those times where things were difficult and the Lord really tested us, we ask that question, did we come forth more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Did we grow? Did we learn the lessons the Lord wanted us to learn? Did we see the principles and promises of his word come to life? Really help us and affect us and direct us? Now tonight, as we come to James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, we see here that there can be growth in trials. We see the Lord here coming and focusing in on some of the graces that he wants to perfect through trials and through testings. You see, it speaks here in these verses, in verse number 2 specifically. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, that word, temptations, it simply means to test. And so the Lord says that we're to count it all joy when he tests us in our Christian life. So as we look at verses 2 to 4 tonight, I want to think of this theme, growth in our trials. Growth in our trials. First thing I want you to see here is that we must understand their inevitability. Verse 2 says, when ye fall into diverse temptations. This gives us a sense of the fact that trials and testings in the Christian life are absolutely inevitable. It's not a matter if we will go through difficult times. It's not a matter if the Lord will test us. It's a matter of when. And we see that time and time again in the lives of the saints of God. You think of Abraham in Genesis 22:1. I'm sure we know that story well, where God's saint was told to sacrifice his only beloved son. And in verse 1, we get an insight into what God is doing. Because it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And that there has the same thought as we see here in James chapter 1. God did tempt Abraham, God did test Abraham. And so we see how God comes into the lives of his people and he tests them. And Abraham at that time in his life, he had saw much blessing. God had given Isaac to him and Sarah. He saw the Lord progressing his plan for his life. God was being so good. God was doing so much for him. We could say that Abraham was enjoying great blessing, and yet he turns the corner and he faces a great test. Even the most godly of God's children, those who are standing in the midst of great blessing, they can turn the corner of life. The next thing you know, they're tested and they're trialed by the hand of the Lord. So these things will enter into our lives. And we must then understand this, that we would respond in a biblical manner. that we would not go down a path of sinfulness and a path of hopelessness and despair. It's so easy to be going through afflictions and to be hopeless and full of despair and anxiety and fear and remain there and say, this is never going to end. I'm never going to get over this. Because if we get into those places, we're never going to grow. Rather, we'll go backwards in our Christian walk and we will be hindered as we seek to live for the glory of God. And so we must view the Christian walkway as one of blessing, but one where there will be many trials. One where there will be many tests for the children of God. And we must understand it's not always going to be a pathway of ease. But the Lord is gracious here in that he reminds us how he will treat us as his own children and as his own people. Notice what it says here in verse 2 again. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This simply means trials of a various kind. And so the Lord says that these trials will be manifold. They will affect us in so many different ways and in so many different circumstances. The Lord will test us in our family life, in our marriages. He will test us in our work life. He will test us in our church life. And so many different areas of life, the Lord will send a test to his people. And the Lord will test their faith and test them in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see all of this brought before us, and yet the Lord tells us how we ought to act in these times. He says, even in the midst of the greatest tragedy of life, even in the midst of our suffering, even in the midst of all that we could imagine as he brings these things into our circumstances, the Lord says to us, I want something to shine forth. He says, I want you to be a people of joy. Look at verse 2 again. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And again, we look at these verses and we wonder. It almost seems like there's a contradiction. Are we really saying that in the midst of my trials and testings and sufferings, I ought to be joyful? That word joy there, it means to be full of cheer. And to us it can present a type of tension where we're like, really? The Lord wants me to be full of cheer despite what I'm going through, despite what I'm suffering. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 4. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. If you'll turn with me there just to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul, a man that knew what it was to suffer. And look what he says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. He says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. And these words are very important. He says, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. See what Paul says there? He says, in the midst of our tribulation, I am exceeding joyful. He exhibits this here. He says, I'm full of cheer in the midst of my tribulation. And again, in Romans 5:3, Paul says again, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You see, Paul is able to see what James sees here, that in the midst of tribulation, God is working out someone's life that they may show forth Christian character and that they might show forth Christian grace. And God comes to us tonight and he says, in the midst of all that we go through, and the times of trial and testing, he says, I want you to be full of cheer. Now, how can we be full of cheer? What is this that gives us that joy in the midst of our suffering? And understand that I'm not saying that when we're going through tests and trials that we ought not to acknowledge that we are suffering or we ought not to shed tears. But the Lord says there's this mixture of joy in the midst of it. And where does the joy come from? The joy comes from many things. One of the places we can have joy in the midst of all of this is that God is in control. You say, I'm suffering greatly. Things are difficult. We're perplexed. We're amazed. And yet we know God is in control of this. And he's brought me to a situation that he will enable me to get through. He's brought me to something in my life that he will give me necessary grace for. He's brought me to a place that he is working out his plan for me. He's brought me here by his good hand. Understand, God never means evil for his people. Never means harm for them. He only has good for them in that regard. And so we know God is in control, but we have the supreme joy in life. It's the joy of salvation. It's the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And understand, nothing in life can change that fact. No matter what our bodies are suffering, perhaps, no matter what we're suffering in our minds, no matter what's going on all around us, we are united to Jesus Christ, and nothing shall separate us from that union. And so the Lord says that's the unchangeable fact of life. He never promises us that life will remain the same. But he says our salvation will remain the same. Our Savior will remain the same. In the midst of all that we go through, we must always remember we are in Christ and God is working out that salvation in our lives as we walk with him. Sure, we know very well here in Kilkeel the dangers of the ocean. Said that someone who is plunged into the ocean, they do not have much time before their life is taken by the ferocious waves. And I said some people are beaten down by the waves and they feel that they can't take a breath and they feel they're overcome and they're overwhelmed. And yet sometimes we as the people of God, we can feel it that. We're in the midst of the ocean. The waves are bashing us down and yet God will never allow us to drown. He will never allow us to be overcome. And God says he will keep us by his hand. He says, so therefore, have exceeding joy. Have joy. Know the Lord is in the midst of all of this. Know the Lord is doing something. And sometimes in the midst of it all, we can't see. But then maybe later on in life, we're praying and we're meditating and we look back and we say, I can finally see what the Lord was doing. Brought it all together. He brought about his good purpose. Did it for his own honor and for his own glory. So remember this, we ought to have this joy and we ought to pray for this joy for others. If you remember here James in James chapter 1, he's speaking here to brethren, speaking to those who are of a like mind, brothers and sisters who are part of the family of God, and how we always then ought to be mindful in the place of prayer of those that are suffering. Those that are going through times of testing, of those that are going through trials, we ought to be mindful of them. We ought to ask the Lord, Lord, give them joy. Give them joy. Give them comfort in their salvation. Give them all of the things that we've been speaking about, that they can look to the Lord and say, Lord, you're in control. You're working out your purpose in my life. And they might have that mix of joy in the midst of their sorrow. It's a joy that only the Christian can have. It's a joy that only we can glory in. Pray for those at this time who are in need. The Lord be granted unto them. Another thing I want you to see here in James chapter 1 with regard to growing in our tribes, I want you to see that we must understand their production. What I mean by this is that this test that James is speaking of in the Christian life, it produces a virtue, and that virtue is patience. Says in James chapter 1 verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so the Lord is trying his faith here with the great intention that there would be the outworking of Christian character. And so we see how the Lord can do that in our lives through testing. He can produce more spiritual grace in us and use us for the glory of his name. I don't know if any of you have had any experience with a crucible. This crucible is a special furnace that is designed for the purification of metals like gold. In biblical times, the crucible was a clay furnace, and there would have been intense heat and fire in it, and the gold would have been collected at the bottom, and only the gold that was pure would have made it through the intense heat of the fire. And so we have this idea that gold, when it is put through the fire, when the heat is intensified, only the pure gold comes through. And we, as the children of God, we are a mixture of the life to come, and the life of the past. And what I mean by that is the Holy Ghost has taken residence in us. And he is producing us into the image of God, or reproducing us into the image of God. He's restoring it in us. He's making us like Christ. And yet there also is the presence of the old man, the flesh. And so what God does in our lives, he turns up the heat, if you want to put it that way, in order that we might be purified and that the old man might be put to death. I think of what it says in Zechariah 13, verse 9, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried." And so God comes to his people. He puts up the heat in their lives in order that those impurities would be taken away and the Christian virtues, the fruit of the Spirit, might be brought forth in greater abundance. Now, that's a wonderful truth. It really shows us that in the midst of these things, we see how the Lord can mold us and the Lord can shape us and the Lord can do all of these things in order that we would be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here that James in chapter 1, verse 3, he speaks about the trying of your faith. And what that essentially means is it's the testing of someone's faith. And when someone's faith is tested, it so often shows the reality of whether faith is present at all or how strong faith is at that time. I often think of Peter. And Peter was someone who liked to talk the talk. Like to speak about the fact that he would go with the Lord all the way. He had the faith that so many would have looked at and said that that's a man of strong faith, of great courage. He said, "Lord, I'll go with you. I'll go with you to death itself." He was boasting and he was speaking about all of these things. And what did the Lord do? The Lord had to humble him and show him, "You're not as strong as you think you are. Your faith is not as alive as you think it is." And sometimes God comes to our lives with tests and with trials in order to bring us to a place of understanding about ourselves, where we are with him, how we're walking with him, what we're doing for his honor and for his glory. And sometimes the Lord reveals to us that perhaps our faith is weaker than it should be. And perhaps our faith is not in the strength and in the vigor that it should be. And maybe we have gotten into bad habits in the Christian life. We're becoming very passive. We come to the meetings. We don't engage how we should engage. We don't listen how we should listen. We're neglecting the means of grace. We're just going through the motions. And sometimes we don't really see the soul sickness that's within us. We don't see that faith is not as alive and vigorous as it should be. And the Lord comes and tests us and to sober us up and to let us see where we are with him. Maybe in the midst of your trials, you've seen a reaction that is contrary to Scripture. There's been mumbling. There's been anger. There's been frustration. There's been all of these things that have come to your heart, and it really reveals to you that your faith is not where it should be. And the Lord calls you this evening and he says, "Why won't you trust me more? Why won't you lean on my everlasting arms and come to the promises of my word?" And when you do that, you'll not mumble and grumble, but you'll realize I'm in control and I'm doing this for your good. But there are blessed people, and they've known the great trialing of their faith. They've known this test coming into their lives, and the Lord has communicated to them that their faith is lively, that it's vigorous, that it is firmly upon his promises. Was that not the case with Abraham in Genesis 22? The Lord said to him, I know that thou fearest me above all else. Abraham's faith was so alive, he believed that God could do something that he had never done before, and that is raise his son from the dead. That's faith in action. And there are times in our lives where, when we're tested, And what happens, that faith is an action. We trust in the Lord. And we walk with Him. And we show forth the fact that we're strong in the power of His might. So I say to you, continue to trust in Him. Continue to look to Him. To continue to grab onto and hold to those precious promises that are getting you through this time of difficult day. Again, the devil will come. And he will ask those questions. He'll ask, does the Lord really care about you? Why would the Lord allow you to suffer such things? Your suffering is never going to end. You're never going to be the same again after what you've just gone through. And yet when we look to the Lord, we see the opposite. The Lord says, rather, I will make you more like Christ. I will make your faith more lively, more vigorous. I will ensure that you show forth my glory in a greater way after this. I think of what it says in Job 23, verse 10. Job confessed these words. He says, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knew very well. The Lord will bring me forth out of this as pure gold. He will rid me of all impurity. And he will allow me to be one that is more conformed into his image and one who lives for his glory. But as that faith is tried, I've said already, there will be the showing forth of Christian virtue, and the virtue here that is shown forth is patience. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word patience there, it simply means perseverance. And so as the Christian trusts in the Lord, as they look to Him and His word and His promises, what do? They persevere. They persevere in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and walking on the Christian walkway. In the midst of their suffering, they begin to show an even greater abundance of spiritual fruit. That's what happens. I remember a very godly man that I knew, and his wife passed away after 50 years of marriage. This man loved her greatly, and it broke his heart. And you know, when it came to the Sabbath after her funeral, perhaps in my mind I expected, well, this man will just have a day off. He'll not bother. Maybe take a week off. He'll not come to the midweek. He'll just stay away for a wee while and have some time to contemplate or whatever. But on that next Sabbath, he was in the exact spot he was always in. He was sitting in the same seat him and his wife sat in for many, many years. He was at his prayer meetings. He was showing forth a wonderful testimony, wasn't he? He was persevering with the Lord. He was remaining faithful to his duty to walk with God and to obey his word in such ways. This is Christian patience. And it's a wonderful testimony to the world. The world looks at Christian people and says, well, look what they're going through. Look what they're suffering. And sometimes they see Christian people suffer in the greatest way possible, and yet it seems to be they're still going to their church. They're still following the Lord Jesus Christ. They're still speaking well of God and of His glory. They're still telling me that I need to be saved. They're still singing His praise with all of their hearts. That's Christian patience. In the midst of any trial and in the midst of any testing, no matter how great, the child of God walks with God and glorifies His name, praises His name, and says, God is good all the time. That's what happens. So as we ever look to the Lord, as we ever realize that there will be times of testing in our lives, what is the reaction of the Christian? It's to walk with the Lord. It's to persevere. It's to go on with Him and continue to show forth a great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray then that in the midst of testing, in the midst of trial, that we would not be those who would fall by the wayside, who would begin to walk in a way that is not glorifying to God, but rather we would go forth and we would be a wonderful testimony to the world that no matter what we go through, we see the good hand of God upon it, and we seek even more the glorify the Lord's name. Think of what Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 12. He says, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Go into verse 13 and 14. It says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, Paul here is in his bondage, he's in his bonds. And he says, my testimony, my perseverance, my desire to preach Christ, it's allowing others in the Lord to wax more confident. That is to be even bolder and they're speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see how our testimony, we see how our walk, we see how our Christian patience can affect others. It can be a witness, it can be a challenge to them to keep on walking with the Lord and to keep on going with Him. One more thing I want you to see. I want you to see when it comes to growing in our trials, we understand their glorious end. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The end of this testing is that the Christian would be perfect and entire. The word perfect there, it simply means to be mature. The word entire means to lack no part that is essential. And the Lord essentially wants His people to grow up into maturity. When we are saved, we are newborn babes in the Lord. We are on that milk of the Word. But the Lord says as He tests us, as He works in our lives, He causes us to grow up out of that infancy into maturity. And then He wants to build a full character in His people. And what I mean by that, when He wants us to be entire, He wants us to lack no part that is essential. That means that the gospel would have an influence in every single area of our lives. See, in the Christian life, we can have so many good spiritual qualities. We can be faithful. And we can be loving. We can be kind. And yet, sometimes in our life, we know that there's something that's lacking. We know there's an area of our life that is not up to the standard of Scripture. And so the Lord says to us that sometimes He will test us, sometimes He will test the vigor of our faith in order that He would see that area of our life brought up to the standard of the Word of God. And so He comes to us tonight and he challenges us. He says, is there an area in your life and it's just not up to scratch? You aren't applying the principles of the Word of God how you should do. You're not living how you should do. You're not behaving how you should do. Yeah, yes, you're faithful and so many other areas. You show forth the love of Christ and the reality of Christ living within you. But in this area, it simply is not good enough. The Lord comes and sometimes He, as I've said earlier, he brings you to your senses that He might put His finger on that area of your life. Say, this needs to be brought into conformity to my word. This needs to be brought into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ as King. And so I say to you, examine yourself in view of that. Because the Lord wants you to continue to grow, to continue to mature, to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet when there is something in your life that is hindering you, that is not a possibility. So He comes to you. He says, I want you to be entire. I want you to be perfect. He sets a real high standard before the church. He sets it before us that we might attain to that end, that we would be like the Lord Jesus Christ fully in every area of life. That is so important. And because the Lord has promised us in His Word that as we strive for this, as we go forward in our tests and our trials, as our life becomes more under the submission to the Word of God, when all of this is present, the Lord says to us, we continue on to glory, where He will perfect that work, and He will make us holy like the Savior. Verse 12 of James 1, we read these words, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation," or "he endureth testing. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." That's what the Lord does tonight. He sets that before you. He says you ought to be perfect and entire. You ought to be strive to be more mature in your faith. You ought to strive to bring your life, everything, your mind, all in conformity to the Word of God. And he says, as you do this, as you endure, as you persevere in faith, he says, you will have a crown of life. So always set that hope before you. It's a wonderful thing to do in the midst of suffering, is to set before us the glory that has to come. And say, Lord, though I can't see the way ahead, though I don't know what tomorrow holds, see, I know what the future holds. I know there's a crown of life waiting for me. I know there is glory. I know there is perfect conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us set that hope before us tonight in the prayer meeting, that we would encourage ourselves, that we would encourage others who may be suffering here tonight, who maybe just need that word of encouragement. And we say, we look forward, Lord, to the day where you'll make us holy like Christ, where every single area, every single part of us will be like him. And so let us endure in these days. Let us go on with the Lord. Let us continue to grow, even in those times of testing and trial. Let us be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.